Could the children come forward?
You're up here, and I'm glad you're up here. I'm glad you're up here. Hi, Kara. How are you? Hi, Samantha. Do you like Samantha or Sam? Okay. Good morning, Dylan. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. You know, we talk about the Bible, this book about God, a lot. And sometimes we get stories about sheep or kings or something like that in the Bible. And sometimes people just sort of tell us what to do in the Bible. And we're looking at this verse today. And it's from a letter that a great man named Paul wrote a long, long time ago. And he was giving advice. He was giving some rules on how to behave. And sometimes we have to kind of figure it out for ourselves from stories about people that maybe Jesus told or somebody else told. But this actually tells us what to do. It talks about being patient, like waiting without complaining too much, you know, being patient about things. It talks about praying and keeping on praying. Talking to God, and sometimes you're like, well, I already asked God for that, or I already asked God to take care of grandma or whatever. Well, keep it up. It says to keep it up. And it tells you lots of things that are kind of surprising, like feed your enemies, Take care of your enemies. Can you imagine if you're in a war and you're facing another army and you think, well, they want to kill me and I should be killing them, but then you find out that they don't have any water and they're going to die of thirst. And so you take water over to them. It seems kind of strange. But a lot of the stuff that the Bible tells us to do, it does seem kind of strange. And we do it anyway, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take care of people, even if they don't like us. So you have this passage to take home, and you can ask your mom or your dad or your grandma or people to help you understand little bits of it. And there's a lot of things in here. It talks about being with people when they're crying, and it says to cry with them. And when they're happy and they're celebrating, it says to be happy and celebrate with them. So there's a lot in this passage. All right? Anybody want to share any news? Anything exciting in your house? How's school going so far? Could be worse. Could be worse. Could be worse. Thank you for coming up. We have bookmarks and tattoos and stickers and things over here, and we have snacks over here. You're going to stay in worship today, okay? So can we make a circle? Can we make a circle? Okay. God, we thank you for these children. We thank you for all the children, the great signs of life and hope that we have amongst us. We ask you to watch over them, watch over their teachers, their parents, their family, all who love them. We ask that all children be safe and feel hope and feel the excitement of learning, the excitement of growth, the excitement of new beginnings. We ask that you help us to follow your rules and to love everyone. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Okay, there are fun things over here, and then there's food things over here. So you get one from each. And from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, Romans 12, verses 9 to 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here ends the reading from Romans 12. My message this morning is called Genuine. In Mary's reading from the Old Testament's Jeremiah, the prophet stood at the gate of God's house and warned people as they entered. They were showing up, offering sacrifices, doing their ritual duties, they thought. Yet they left the Almighty there in the temple when they went home to dinner. They did not bring that demanding God along when they bought and sold. when they threw rocks at foreigners or stepped over the poor. Quoting God, Jeremiah said, "Change your behavior and let me live here with you. Treat aliens, orphans, widows, and innocents fairly, justly, and I can live with you again." Our Creator looks at our behavior to see if we are open to the Holy One. Caring for the poor, the helpless, means more than showing up in the pretty house we built to keep God in. Some will tell you that all that matters in your walk with Jesus is just believing. Yet from the earliest church, Paul and other church teachers were reminding us that behavior matters. In the first couple hundred years of Christianity, soldiers could not be baptized because Jesus taught nonviolence. Even actors could not be Christians because they were deceiving people, lying to people. If you wanted to become a Christian, you might have met with a sponsor for months or years while you learned and incorporated ethical, Christ-like behavior in your daily life. When your sponsor saw that you were living a wholesome life, then you could be baptized into the faith. As church leaders explained, God's forgiveness, compassion, and love are free. However, in response, we should want to please God. We should want to love like Jesus. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the churches in Rome, called it genuine love. Some might describe this as living with integrity, loving as if you mean it. You say you follow Jesus, you love your neighbor, outdo each other, showing affection, respect, and honor. Love is not just a word. Genuine love gets lived out loud in how you treat each other. And then, do we show respect and care outside our circles? Do we love our enemies? Do we pray for our enemies? Do we honor leaders with whom we disagree? Reverend Ken Samuel writes that therapists struggle to get people to unearth the depths of their despair. What is really going on with you? Perhaps we spend too much time saying everything's fine. How are you? Fine. Shoving it aside, we may also forget why we feel empty, lethargic, or sad. Sadness is no fun, so we turn away. We pretend we are okie-dokie. We wear the weak smile. We forget genuine. Yet we all know life has genuine lows. Disappointments linger. Betrayals keep hurting. Great losses take great time in deep valleys. Samuel reminds us the high notes of life have so much more appeal and applause than the low notes. And yet none of our most enduring melodies and symphonies can be supported and sustained by the high notes alone. Real life is not just about our mounting up on wings like an eagle. Real life is also about our trek through valleys filled with shadows of death. He continues, "In the black church, we often say, 'You may see my glory, but you don't know my story.' The story often speaks of misery, but it is only bad if it is never told." End quote. Paul writes, "Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are." What if church were a safe place to share your story, the highs and the lows? What if your church were a safe place to say that life is awful right now? It might be. It might be just the perfect place to share your story. And what if sharing all your miseries and even your silliest joys helps another know she is not alone? Love one another with genuine affection, respect, and honor. We may chuckle when a child shares way too much information. But consider that children are trusting us to love them through potty training reports. Children trust us to survive their embarrassing questions and their too intimate announcements. And we do. Our love for children, whether ours or someone else's, is so broad, deep, and resilient that we still love them after they get gum in their hair. We still love them when they wet their pants. We even still love them when they can't learn their multiplication tables. Paul asked the churches at Rome, and I suspect us as well, to let love be genuine. Real love surrounds hungry strangers, thirsty enemies, weepy sisters and brothers who do not think they are strong enough. We have sisters who weep, and we have brothers who do not think they are strong enough. Paul said real, genuine love surrounds them. Real love accepts you when you can bake cookies and move furniture, and loves you still when you need to babble on endlessly, when your kids are haywire, or when you need a shoulder to cry on. We have our own gifts and callings, ways to love one another. When you give a fair trade gift for a wedding or birthday, you share genuine love in several directions, for the recipient, for creation, and for the producer. We have a beautiful bowl that looks like metal starfish. We have beautiful magnets of fish, crabs. The island nation of Haiti was one of the poorest, most corrupt nations on earth before it was hit with an earthquake. Much work remains. When you give, and our shop is open today, when you give the beautiful starfish bowl, the colorful fish wall hanging, you are recycling oil drums. You are employing the craftspeople in the workshop of Jean-David Remy, allowing all those craftspeople to support their families, send their children to school. Love one another with genuine love. An Episcopal congregation in California runs a laundromat one day a month. Weird? Not your idea of genuinely loving your neighbor? Think of those on disability or pensions whose dollars run out before the month is over. Think of low-income families with lots of dirty clothes and not enough paydays for all the bills. One day every month, church members clean machines, hand out soap, and get to know those who line up for free washing and drying. Like the former aerospace machinist who never imagined himself seeking charity, and the mother of three who lost her job in March. Member Shannon Kassoff says, "This is probably the most meaningful thing that we do, because we are taking our love outside of the walls of the church, bringing it to the people and sharing what we think is an amazing experience. And that's just love." Paul said, "Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers." In fact, there is so much good advice in this little passage from Paul's letter to the Christians at Rome that we made copies. Take yours home, tape it to your mirror, or the back of the TV remote. Fasten it to your checkbook, your dashboard, or over your sink. The Apostle Paul asked for genuine love. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Hope, patience, perseverance. Pray, contribute, extend hospitality to strangers. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony, live peaceably with one another. Hang out with outcasts. Leave vengeance to God. Feed your enemies. Overcome evil with good. Let love be genuine. Amen.